Amen. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, open up to Lamentations chapter 3. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And last week, we talked about open doors. This week, I want to talk about new beginnings. All right? The God of new beginnings. And another way to look at this verse of Scripture is real simple. It's God is always ready to forgive us, restore us, and renew us. And people forget the fact that God is in the restoration business. He wants to restore us back to where we were. No matter what happened to us in 2017, God is the God of new beginnings. And January is, like we said last year, the open door. Oh, we did say it last year too, actually. Is the door of new beginnings for us. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for a new year, for new blessings, Father. We thank you that your mercies are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness, Father. And Lord, we just praise you for it and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, God's always ready to give us something new. We have to be ready to get it. Yet, but so many people are hindered by their past, all right? The past is ugly, man. The past will stop you dead in your tracks. And you've seen people, they just seem stuck. They never could seem to get out of which way they want to go. They're frozen, and they never progress any more than where they're at. They just never seem to get to that place. And their identity seems to be locked into whatever failures and past mistakes they made. They're always that way. The disappointments. We have old attitudes that are sometimes hard to shake, and we just seem to get stuck. And old patterns. Some of us have patterns that we still operate in that we don't want to break away from for whatever reason, and they prevail in our lives, and it just keeps us from going forward the way God would like us to go forward. People who were raised in negative environments also... raised in critical homes, different things. They have to overcome those influences. I wouldn't say I was raised in a negative home, but I was raised in a place where you could never be good enough. And I had to overcome that, okay? And we did. And you know, I was thinking about King Saul. King Saul, the first king, had to address small thinking. Okay, that would hindered his progress. And basically, I believe part of his whole problem was during his reign as king was his past, because he was afraid of everybody and everything. He had fear. He had guilt. He was afraid of people. And that's brought out in the Word of God. But look, this is Saul's response. When Samuel came to Saul to tell him he was going to be king, this is the way Saul answered that. He says, and Saul answered and said, 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 21, "Am I not a Benjaminite, of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin?" That's a pretty stinky self-estimation of yourself. Why do you speak like this to me? And I believe, really, in all of his reign as king, that was his big problem. He didn't think of himself as the way God thought of him. And when you had those past attitudes, it comes forth in your life. Amen. And that was his problem. He was afraid of David. He was afraid of people. When God told him to go wipe out everybody, he was afraid. He listened to the people, and they let the king live, and God said, kill everybody. Yeah. And we have that famous saying, to obey is better than sacrifice. So he thought he was doing something good. You know, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10 says, "Do not despise small beginnings." Don't despise small beginnings. He was small. He was a Benjaminite. Okay? And because for the Lord rejoices when we begin something. You know, no matter how small it is, what you have on your heart, what God's telling you to do, even in the area of giving, You know, you think, well, I don't have enough to give. I know there's people that give a lot of money. I only have $5. Don't despise small beginnings, because God will multiply that in your life. But you need to start. Okay? Praise God. You know, there's a book. It's called The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. And a lot of times when we used to do we used to go away and do marriage seminars. The church used to go. We'd go away for the weekend. And fellow Gary Chapman, he said this. He goes, I'm amazed how many individuals mess up every new day with yesterday. Amen. They mess up every new day with yesterday. They insist on bringing into today the failures of yesterday, and in doing so, pollute a potentially wonderful day. So when you get up in the morning and you remind your spouse how stupid they were yesterday, you just ruined a great day. The attitude of the whole thing changed. All right? But we've got to ask ourselves, what do people carry from day to day that hinders them from moving forward, and why? You know, why does that happen? Well, it's easy. The why is simple. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. That's the King James Version. I personally like the New King James Version. It says, where there is no revelation, the people perish. No revelation of what? No revelation of what God says you are and what God says you could do. No revelation of the Word of God for your life personally to move forward. So if we don't meditate in the Word of God, we'll never know. And one of the things that we need to do is we need to write down that revelation. We need to write down that vision. Well, you say, well, where do you write it? You write it on the tablet of your heart. Right. Amen? And what is the vision? What is the revelation? Whatever God's Word says. Can you say amen? And the what part of it is this. That's the why. Why it doesn't happen is because we're so caught up in thinking about everything else except what we're supposed to be looking at, and that's God's Word. Okay? And the what is this. Guilt. People have guilt. The devil will beat you up with guilt. All right? The next thing is a sense of failure. Nobody wants to fail. But let me tell you something. In life, you're going to win some, and you're going to lose some. It's just the way it is. It's life. A sense of damaged identity. Some people's identity is just like they have a lousy idea. They identify with everything but what God's Word says. Just don't like me. We've been trying every little thing. Amen. And I'm not going to try to do one of those.
Is that all?
That's all. Off. Okay. All right. A sense of a damaged identity, you know, perceiving yourself inferior. I can't do that. A lot of people feel like they're a second-class Christian. You know, a lot of times you'll have a minister come in here and he speaks in grandiose things, and we kind of feel like, God, I'm never going to get there. Well, your attitude stinks right there. Because that minister's there trying to lift you up, and you're looking at it, God, look where he's at and look where I'm at. And you start judging yourself. Don't do that. Amen. You know? I kind of sensed that when we were in Canada ministering at the minister's breakfast and then at the church, you know, my whole objective is to lift people up. But sometimes people take that, and they take it the other way, and they feel, I'm not as good as them. Yes, we're all the same. Okay? Fear of people. Sometimes people are just afraid of people. That was Saul's problem. He was afraid of people. Rejection. People are afraid to be rejected. Listen, man, you're in good company. Jesus was rejected. Hello? Jesus was rejected. Don't feel bad about being rejected. Praise God. And so God does not, he doesn't want this stuff in our life. It because they are rooted in the past. This is a new year. We're going forward. Everybody say, I'm going forward. And all that stuff is just rooted in past experiences that you can't go back and you can't change. You can't change any of it. And they're lording over your life and everything that you do. They restrict you. They bind you. They limit you when you start thinking about your past. Jesus. My Bible says it this way. It says, I've been redeemed from my past. I don't have no past. I don't have yesterday. Yesterday is over. Today is new. God's mercies are new every morning. His compassions never fail. And great is his faithfulness. Hallelujah. Not you. It's his faithfulness. On the inside, you're brand new, yet your spirit's been born again. And now we just have to forget those things that are behind us and move on forward. You know, Philippians says it the best, and I just love it. It says, but one thing I do. One thing Paul did, of everything he did, one thing he did. Forget those things which are behind you. Because you can't change them. I don't care if you're in a 12-step program or what you're in. Forget, part of recovery is forgetting. Not constantly reminding yourself of what a dope I was. Because that's not going to help you. You might have been an addict, but praise God, you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. You might have been a prostitute, but praise God, you're redeemed by the blood of Jesus. You might have been a failure, but praise God, you're redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Forget those things that are behind you and reach forward to those things which are ahead. Great things are ahead. Some people think the only way to experience change is to experience it externally. They say things like, if only I had a new spouse. Well, I know people who've had 4 or 5 new spouses and they're still not happy. If only I had a new job. People go from job to job looking for utopia and they're still not happy. If only I lived somewhere else, I'd be just happy. I don't think so. You know, you can change all these things and still be miserable. Unless you get renewed on the inside. Unless you get an attitude change, a heart change, it's all futile. You could change your wife, you could change your job, you can change your environment. But unless you change the inside, once you realize you're the problem, not everybody else. You know, people say all the time, I'm going to move to Arizona. And trust me, the minute you get off the plane in Arizona, you've got a problem. Because you brought it with you. Remember, I did that message about putting your luggage. You know, you go to the airport and you take your luggage with you. Leave it. Go to the store and buy new luggage. New clothes, you'll feel better. For a while. Till you get your credit card bill. Again, our verse said, Lamentations, though the Lord, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, or your faithfulness. God's mercies are new every day. Mercy gives you what you doesn't give you what you do deserve. Grace gives you what you don't deserve. Don't ever forget that. You heard people, they go and they call on the mercy of the court. Why? Because they don't want to do 25 to life. And if the judge is full of mercy, he doesn't give them that. So he gives them something they don't deserve. And because Jesus went to the cross for us and paid the price, we don't get judged anymore. Nothing is held against us because of his mercy. All right, his compassions are new every morning. He's a compassionate God. They're new every morning. And his faithfulness is new every morning. So I don't care how bad you mess up today. 12 midnight. It's new day. New beginning. Don't think about what happened before because you can't go back and change it. And that's living in the past.
Amen.
You know, we tell people, when you're on a diet, okay, for instance, like we're on this no carb thing, which is, you know, this ketogenic diet, and it's great. Well, what happens if you go out on a Friday night and you eat carbs? It's not the end of the world, because at 12 midnight, you get to start over again. And it's the same thing with everything else you messed up the day before. Tomorrow's a new day. A brand new day. God, the life God has given us is an adventure. A journey. A race. We're in a race. We're on a journey. And there's a sign on the vocational school over here that simply says, life is a journey, get good directions. You know, this is my Bible. It's spelled B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving Earth.
Amen.
This is the handbook to your journey.
Amen.
Everything that pertains to life and godliness is in here.
That's right.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Basic instructions. You should get a piece of tape or something, or one of them markers that writes white, and just say, basic instructions before leaving Earth manual. Praise. Come on, how many of you take out your manual for like when you get a new television or, you know, and all you look, you study that manual because you want to know every little thing about that. You get Xfinity, you want to be able to say, okay, you talk to it, you know, you don't even have to remember the chat. The first thing I'm doing, actually the second thing I'm doing, when I go down to Florida, is I'm going to Xfinity and changing my box, so because all the channels are different down there. Still Xfinity, but they're all different. And it takes you a month to figure out what you're doing. So I figured, problem solved. Just going to get that remote and go, okay, put on Fox News. Put on Blue Bloods. I don't have to know where the channel is. I don't even care where the channel is. The remote knows where the channel is.
The remote knows more than us. Terrible.
Amen. You know, God didn't say he was going to be with us until things got rough. You know, he didn't say that. He didn't say he didn't say he'd be with you till you missed it. The Bible says he said he'd be with you always, even to the end of the age.
Yes.
He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us.
Never.
And the problem is not God abandoning us. Our problem is us abandoning God.
Amen.
Failing to access his promises. Failing to take advantage of his promises. Failing to release our faith in his word. That's the problem, not God. God's got everlasting mercy, unfailing and always new compassion, unfailing, and his faithfulness. And I want to talk today about a couple of people in the Word of God who had access to God's mercy in order to put their past behind them. And in doing so, they truly met the God of new beginnings and open doors. And a lot of people mistakenly think that the great men of the Bible were men who never failed. When in fact, they were simply men who knew how to get up and keep going.
Amen.
You know, it doesn't matter how many times you fall down. It does not matter. What matters is that you get up and keep moving forward.
Amen.
And before I talk about the Bible characters, there are some people in the natural I want to talk about. Number one, Sir Winston Churchill. Everybody knows who Sir Winston Churchill was. He's synonymous with England's survival. Do you know he was the biggest failure on the planet? He was at the bottom of his class all the way through high school. His teachers didn't consider him good enough to enter Woolwich, which was the military academy that raised up commissioned officers in the Royal Army. He wasn't smart enough. So they said, you need to go to the where they trained the infantrymen. He failed twice to get into that school. Finally, on the third time, he passed, but not enough to be in the infantry or the military. All right? He was an underachiever. This is Winston Churchill I'm talking about, okay? But he went on to hold the supreme military command as prime minister and minister of defense of Great Britain. And everybody knows who Winston Churchill was. Yet he was an underachiever. Next guy, Albert Einstein. He passed the exam to enter the Federal Polytech College in Zurich, Switzerland on his second attempt. That's the guy with M squared something, with an MC squared, whatever it was, like, I don't even know what it was, okay? Albert Einstein, everybody knows it. The Red Baron crashed on his first solo flight. 2 weeks later, he took the first test required for a pilot certificate and failed. Determined, however, he continued training until he passed and was assigned to combat. Over the next 10 years in World War II, German flying ace downed 80 Allied planes in dogfights. Crashed on his first takeoff. Abraham Lincoln. This is the best. His mother died when he was 9. He went into business at 23. 3 years later, his partner died and left him in debt. At 37, on his third try, he finally was elected to Congress. He ran again 2 years later, but wasn't elected. 2 years later, he was rejected as land officer. At age 45, he ran for Senate and lost. 2 years later, he lost the nomination for vice president. At 49, he ran for Senate again and lost again. At 51, he was finally elected president of the United States with only 40% of the popular vote. Thomas Alva Edison, we all know him, had no formal education. Actually, after 3 months in grade school, he quit because his teacher called him addled. Now, that threw me for a loop. What's addled? Addled means confused and disorganized. His teacher called him confused and disorganized. He said to a reporter that asked Edison, who had experienced approximately 2,000 unsuccessful attempts on the incandescent light bulb, what it felt like to fail so many times. Edison said, "I never failed once. I simply found 2,000 ways that didn't work." And last one is Babe Ruth, known as the Sultan of SWAT. Hit more than 40 home runs per season, a record that was only equaled by two other people, or three, okay? And in one season, he hit over 60, okay? Before he retired in 1935, Babe Ruth hit 714 career home runs, a record, again, that few people have surpassed, a few. He also was known as the King of Strikeouts. In his career, he led the American League in strikeouts 5 times. And he accumulated 1,330 strikeouts in his career, which is just under 103 per season. I don't know where their spirituality was, but certainly one thing is for sure. They demonstrated biblical attitudes of determination. Every single one of them. Okay? Their attitude. You know, Proverbs 24, verse 16 says, "For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked fall by calamity." All right? So, Moses, here we go. Our first biblical character. Acts 7, 22 to 28 says, "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, He was mighty in words and deeds. Now when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffered wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. For he supposed that the brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand. But they did not understand. Moses knew he was going to do something for God. But that was a major blunder. A major failure in his life. Okay? And the next day he had appeared to two of them as they were fighting and tried to reconcile them, saying, "Men and brethren, why do you wrong one another?" But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian?" See, Moses had the right idea, but his timing was way out of whack. You know? And God spoke to him 40 years later, after he was banished, and went up to the mountains, and Moses was reluctant. And this is what he said to God, "Who am I? They will not believe or listen to me. I am not eloquent." This is the guy who had spoken great words. That failure almost destroyed him. But one thing he did, he had to come to a place of believing God more than his past mistakes. Believing in God's mercy, in God's compassion, in God's faithfulness more than his mistakes. And that's the place you need to get to. Amen. If you want to move forward with God, you got to get to a place where you rely more on the mercy of God, the grace of God, the faithfulness of God, and the compassion of God than you do your own strength and your own mistakes. David was a man after God's own heart. He wrote Psalms. But he had to get past guilt. He had a lot of guilt to get over. He had Bathsheba's husband. Bathsheba's husband was so faithful to David that he refused to sleep. David brought him back. He came back and he said, "Come home. Go sleep with your wife." He says, "I can't. I'll go sleep outside the city." And he knew, David knew that he was in trouble, bro.
Oh, yes, he was.
Because he got Bathsheba pregnant. And had her husband murdered. Think he had a guilty conscience? But yet he says, David was a man after God's own heart. He had to get past some issues, man. I don't care what you did in the past. It don't mean squat to me. Don't mean squat to God. You need to get past it. And you need to move forward with God. Peter, and the Lord said to him in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 34. Simon, Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith shall not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." But he said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Then he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me." I hear people say, "Pastor, don't worry, we're right with you. Go ahead, we're right behind you." About 4 miles. And you don't see them anymore and they're gone. "Don't worry, we got your back, bro." Yeah. Jesus knew ahead of time he was going to fail. Amen. Jesus knew Peter was going to fail, and he loved him anyway, saved him anyway, even if you called him anyway. If you read in John, let's see where in John is that. Let me find it. Hold it. It was not in my notes, but in chapter 21. Now, Jesus restores Peter. Peter had to get past the fact that he denied the Savior. He knew him. He walked with him, ate with him, seen him raised the dead, healed the sick, the blind saw. Peter walked on water. And he stood there and he goes, I don't know the guy. You think Peter had a guilt problem? I think so. Had a lousy, I mean, he had a big problem. And when he had, verse 15 says, and when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, now, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, then feed my sheep. Well, Jesus says, Peter, do you agape me? God is asking him, do you love me above everything? And Peter answers him and says, Lord, you know I phileo you. Phileo is brotherly love. You know I'm your brother. Jesus didn't ask him that question. Jesus asked him, Peter, do you love me unconditionally? Yes. Peter's going, well, I love you, but I love you for the good you do for me. I love you as a brother. Then he says to him again a second time, Simon Peter, do you agape me? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. Then he said to him a third time, Simon, Jonah, do you phileo me? And Peter said, and he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. He got a little indignant now because Jesus changed the word. He didn't ask him if you agape him. He says, so basically he's going, Peter, you love me as a brother. And Peter, guess how Peter asked him? Peter answered him this way, yeah, I do love you as a brother. Jesus said, okay, go feed my sheep. I love you anyway, Peter. Go feed my sheep. He was restoring Peter back to the place that he was. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You see, and if you hold on to your faith in the midst of failure, your faith will translate failure to success. Paul, dear Lord, you think Paul had a little bit of a guilt problem? He was riding all over the countryside killing Christians because they believed in Jesus. Then Jesus knocks him to the ground. Everybody says Jesus knocked him off a horse. But don't say that. He said he knocked him to the ground, not off a horse. He says, Simon, why do you kick against the pricks? And he says, who are you? He goes, I'm Jesus, the one you're coming against. And he says, Paul had to get his life lined up with God.
Yes,
and he did. He says, and he says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who enabled me because he counted me faithful. In putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And then the famous words he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself as apprehended, but one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forward to the things that are ahead.
Amen.
You know, all of these men had to receive mercy and compassion to start over. And I don't care what you've done in your life. You know why I don't care what you've done in your life? Because God doesn't care what you've done in your life.
Amen.
Why should it bother? If he don't care, and he's the supreme ruler, why should it bother me?
Amen.
I do know this, that he has mercy, and he has compassion, and he wants to see you start over again.
Amen.
You don't have to go back and change anything. You just need to start today.
Amen.
All right? If there's hope for them, there's hope for us. Right? He's the God of new beginnings, the God of open doors. If he worked in their lives, trust me, he will work in yours. People resign themselves on the inside to limitations. But God says, I want to renew you. I want to rejuvenate you. I want to refresh you. But you have to let him. You have to start getting into the basic instructions before leaving Earth. You have to let, you know, you ever see that commercial, Let Go? The guy's hanging on to something. You need to let go. You need to let go and let God. Let go of your past and let God give you a bright future. You know, you can't quit and flounder in your past failures. Forget it. And we're going to receive communion here in a few minutes, okay? And I want us to purpose in our heart to let God renew us, rejuvenate us, refresh us, so we can walk through those open doors that he has for us, so we could take heed to the words that Gloria told us this morning about blessing us, abundance, all right? He set before us. We need to rely on his mercy. Thank God for the mercy of God. We have to rely on his compassion. We have to, because they're new every morning, and his faithfulness. He's faith. Even when we're faithless, he's faithful. He's always faithful to his word. Even when you're not faithful to it, he's faithful. Amen. So, we're going to say this. First, we're going to pass out the communion elements, and then we're going to make a confession together. Okay? So, ushers, if we could pass out music ministry, you can come up here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's just stay in an attitude of prayer, attitude of worship this morning. Search your heart. See what you have to let go and let God. All right? Forget your past. The only thing your past will do is hinder you.
That's right.
Stop you dead in your tracks.
Yep.
And Lord, I pray for these people this morning as communion's going out. Father God, I pray the Holy Spirit would come upon them today, Lord. Cleanse them. Erase the memory of their past. Let them see the new and brightened future that you have for them, Father God. And the great things that you want to do for them in their life. And let them not despise the day of small beginnings. But let them know that your thoughts are not their thoughts. Your ways are not our ways. You have a new way of life for us, Father. A good way, a new way. And Lord, we praise you for it and thank you for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Well, they're handing out communion elements. If you don't follow us on Facebook, follow us, because then you'll get a notification when we're doing something live. Amen. You can follow Pastor Anthony or Abundant Grace Church, either one of them. It'll pop up. Follow both of them. It'll pop up on one. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, I just praise you and thank you for everyone in this room today. In the name of Jesus. Before we receive communion this morning, let's all stand on our feet and make this prayer. Pray this prayer with me. Just follow me as we pray it. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the precious name of Jesus. I come to you with a humble and grateful heart. I thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Your compassion does not fail. And great is your faithfulness. I purpose to let the word renew me, rejuvenate me, and refresh me. I will not let guilt, failure, identity, fear of people, or rejection to stop me from being all you intended for me to be. I set myself in agreement with you and your word. And today, I commit myself to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. I declare that I will not be conformed to the world. I will not let the world dictate to me. But I'll be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Improve what your good, acceptable, and perfect will is. I will let the word dictate to me. I will not let failure, guilt, and inferiority dominate my life. I will let your word dominate my life. So today, as I receive the covenant meal, I dedicate and consecrate myself to you. And as I do, I am ready to go where you want me to go and to do what you want me to do and be what you want me to be. And I declare that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here this morning and you never received Jesus as your Savior, today is the perfect day to do it. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. It's a new beginning, and God has opened up doors for you. So if you haven't, let's just pray this simple prayer, all of us today. Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask Jesus to live in me big. I ask the Holy Spirit to renew me, to do your will. And I renounce all sin and unrighteousness in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. If you prayed that for the first time after service, Gloria will be standing up here. Just come down and let her know. She wants to give you a Bible and a couple of pamphlets that'll help you in Jesus' name. Jesus said on the night that he was betrayed, he had given thanks and he broke the bread and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Father, we thank you for the broken body of Jesus. And we thank you that by his stripes we've been healed from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. In Jesus' name, amen. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Father, we thank you for this covenant emblem, the grape juice, Lord. And we thank you that you are the God of new beginnings and open doors, Lord. And we stand on that good confession we made today. In Jesus' name, amen.